We're very appreciative for everyone that's on the call today. We're so grateful to have each and every person, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We are so happy to have you on tonight. We pray you'll take your Bible and open it up. I'm still along with our speaker tonight. I speak in the person of Brother Anthony Johnson, who serves at the Dinwiddie Street Church of Christ in Macomb, Mississippi. And tonight, Brother Johnson will talk to us what said the scripture about Jesus' prayer for unity. Brother Johnson, tell us, what said the scripture about Jesus' prayer for unity?
Good evening, everyone. For another blessing that we have from God to be able to be a part of another day. And I just thank God for his blessing, and also I thank Brother Tommy Brooks and Brother Anthony Flander for a great invitation that they have offered to be a part of this great gospel meeting. And tonight we're going to talk about Jesus' prayer for unity in John 17 and verse 20 and 21. This is a prayer that Jesus made before his betrayal and his crucifixion. We're going to see that in this prayer, unity is important to Jesus. Not only is it important to Jesus, but unity is a command. But also the lack of unity causes dissensions, factions, and divisions. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together and in the same mind and in the same judgment." Unity is important to Jesus. Unity is important to God the Father. Unity is important because Jesus, before he went back to heaven, he instructed the apostles that he would leave them with another comforter. We can find that in John chapter 14, John 15, and John 16, and telling them that that comforter will bring all things back to their remembrance, what he had instructed them on. So we're going to look at tonight Jesus' prayer for unity. Prayer is powerful. And I believe that we all can agree to that, but prayer is powerful. But tonight, we are looking at a prayer that is uttered by one who is righteous. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1, John records by saying, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So we're seeing tonight that here is a prayer that is uttered by the one who is righteous. And the one that is righteous is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We find in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul was talking to Timothy, talked about the importance of praying and the importance of making supplication and intercessions and giving of thanks that they should be made unto all men, even those men that are in authority. But one thing I want to point out, that in verse 3 it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man of Christ Jesus. So we have a prayer tonight that is uttered by the righteous one. We have a prayer tonight that is uttered by the one mediator that we have that will stand between God and men, and that mediator is Christ Jesus. This is a prayer that is offered to God the Father. In this text, Jesus prayed for himself. In this text, he prayed for his apostles. And also, he prayed for future believers. We are seeing that Jesus, the righteous one, we see that Jesus, the one mediator, we see that Jesus stands between us and God. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse number 21, Paul says, for he, speaking of God, have made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It had to take the righteous one, who is Jesus Christ. It had to take the righteous one to come to this world who had no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God, and we're made the righteous of God, as the scripture says, in him. Now, righteousness is important, because Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears is open unto their prayers. And so Jesus is praying for all future believers. Let's look at the text. He says in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their words. We even find in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3, for the Hebrew writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So we find that Jesus said, neither do I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Well, Lord, what are you praying about? What are you asking in your prayer? In verse number 21, he's saying that he wants future believers to believe on him through their word. What does he want? That they all may be one. Now, he used the word that, and it's a Greek word, hena, and it indicates, that's showing us that Jesus' purpose, that Jesus' results, that Jesus wants something in order, he's praying in order that something may happen. What then were the purpose Jesus desired to achieve with his prayer? What unity is he desiring? And I do believe, what does it look like when you and I, we can see what it looked like when you and I are together on his word? Well, what are you praying? Well, I'm praying that they all, do you see that? That they all may be one, as thy Father art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. What is the purpose? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. What are you praying, Lord? That they all may be one. He wants the future believers to be one. It is a desire. It is unity of desire. it is unity of desire, because he said that they all may be one, as thy Father art in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. So here's the prayer of unity. Here's a prayer that's showing us the desire that the Father and the Son have for his future believers. When we read in the Bible, both Father and the Son, they both want all men to be saved. We can find that in John 3:16. We can all quote that, as God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They both want all men to be saved. They both want us to believe in Jesus and to obey him. The Bible tells us in John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We can read in Hebrews 5:8-9, that though he was Son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. God said in Matthew 17:5, after he had taken Peter, James, and John into the mountain of figuration, and how that Peter wanted to make 3 tabernacles. But the Bible says, while he was yet speaking, there's a voice came from heaven, and God said in Matthew 17:5, he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. So we see that God the Father and his Son both want all men to be saved. They both want us to believe in Jesus and to obey Jesus. They both want us to repent and be immersed or be baptized and to live godly lives. So we're asking the question now, well, where can we find this unity? Listen to what Jesus said. That they may be one, as thy Father art in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Where can we find them? Jesus says that they can be one in us. The question is, how do we get in Christ? How do we get into the one with the Father? How can we get with the one who is one with the Father? Now, I just mentioned that they both have desire, and their desire is for all men to be saved. Their desire is for all men to believe and obey Jesus. Their desire is that all men and women be repentant and to be baptized or be emerged in baptism and to live a godly life. To live the way God wants us to live. Now, I said that there is a desire in unity. There is a desire in unity. We want to find that in 2 John 9, John says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of the teaching of Christ have both the Father and the Son. If we don't abide in the teaching of Christ, we don't have God. But if we abide in the teaching of Christ, we have both. Both Father and the Son. Both Father and the Son, who will have all men to be saved, who would have all men to believe in his Son, who would have all men to obey his Son, who would have all men to repent and be baptized, to have all men do the same thing. Well, we want to talk about, if we are going to be one, we are one, Jesus says, in us. How do we get in Christ? Acts 2:38, when they asked Peter and the apostles on the day of Pentecost, what should they do? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then we find in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3, we find that Paul is saying, he says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26, Paul says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized in the Christ have put on Christ. If we are going to be one, as Jesus prayed, as the Father is in him, as he is in the Father, that he wants the future believers to be one in us. And the only way that we can get in the Father, the only way that we can get in Christ, is that we're baptized into Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into Christ. I remember my first gospel sermon when I preached. It was Luke 6:46. Well, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus is the righteous one. Jesus is the mediator that stands between God and man. Jesus was made a sacrifice for us who knew no sin, but he did that in order that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. What I want to share with you, only when we unite on the word of God and allow it to guide our lives, that's the only way that we're going to find the unity that Jesus prayed for. Now, I want to share an illustration that I use in our jail ministry. We're not going to jail ministry now because of the pandemic. But what I would always do as we begin our study with the inmates, I would ask them one simple question. This would be our icebreaker. And in that icebreaker, I would ask them one question. I would ask them, who was the mother of Jesus? And every last one of them would say Mary. And all the time that I would ask that question, they all came up with the same answer. And that answer was Mary. There are many other women, wonderful women in the Bible, but they all came up with the same answer. That answer was Mary. We never had an argument over that answer because we all had the same answer. And my purpose for giving that icebreaker was to point them to the idea that we know that Mary is the mother of Jesus because of Matthew 1 and verse 18. I said that the word of God is spoken to all men. The word of God is for all men and women. What God say to one, he say to another. God sent his word among his son. And his son tell us what God want us to do. His son tell us what God want us to obey. The Bible plainly tell us in John 12 and verse number 48. Jesus says, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words have one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. He said, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandments is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus received his commandments from the Father. Jesus received the words from the Father, who both of them had a desire for unity, who both of them wanted all men to be saved. They both wanted all men to believe in Jesus and obey Jesus. They both want us to repent, and they both want us to be baptized. They both want us to live godly lives. Only when men unite on the word of God and allow it to guide them can we find the unity Jesus prayed for. I've been listening to these wonderful speakers this week. I've been listening to the wonderful speakers throughout the whole series of this gospel meeting. Jesus praying that we all may be one as he and the Father is one. Jesus told us that we should believe on him through the words of the apostles. And the brothers last week did a wonderful job. They talked about the one body. They talked about the one spirit. They talked about the one hope. They talked about the one Lord. They talked about the one faith. This week they talked about the one baptism. They talked about the one God. And tonight we're talking about Jesus praying for unity. And the only way that we're going to have the unity is that all of us submit to the words of Jesus Christ. As we have looked at Ephesians chapter 4, we find that unity was already in place before we were ever a member of the body of Christ. And I'm talking about all of us that have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Unity was already there. How do you say that? Well, in Ephesians 4 and verse number 3, Paul says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How can we keep the unity when we understand what he's saying, being guided by the Holy Spirit? Paul said, there is one body, and the body is the church. We can find it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. The body is the church, and there's not but one body, there's not but one church, and that is the church of Christ. That is the body of Christ, and there's only what one church. Paul said, there is one body. Paul said, there's one spirit. Even as you're calling, one hope be your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, there is not but one. It's not but one. And that's the body of Christ. It's not but one. That's the church of Christ. And when we look at this prayer of Jesus, he prayed that they may be one as he and the Father is one. that they also may be one in us. Why do you want us to be one in you? Why do you want us to speak the same thing? Why do you want us to be on one accord? Why do you want us? Well, the Bible is recorded. The Bible has been written for all of us. And I said to the inmates, you know, we are not even arguing over that question because we all understand that it's Mary because we can read it. And I said, it amazes me as to how that we have the Word of God that is written to all of us. And God is telling all of us the same thing. And Jesus said, I want you to be one that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, the world has to see that God's ministers are speaking the same thing. And that's what exactly my brothers have been doing throughout this series of meetings. God wants the world to believe that he has sent me. If the world, or if we're looking at the world, are we really seeing what Jesus prayed for? Are we seeing the unity that he prayed for? That we all may be one as he in the Father is one? That we all understand the same thing based upon the Word of God in which the apostles handed down to us? Only when we unite on the Word of God. Only when we allow it to guide our life, we can find the unity that Jesus prayed for. There is one body. There is one spirit. There is one baptism. We don't find in the Word of God, based upon what Jesus prayed for. Do we see that in our world today? We find churches, different churches on every corner. And Jesus did not pray for that. That wasn't what Jesus prayed for. That wasn't Jesus' purpose. That wasn't Jesus' results that he was looking for. That people are saying, it doesn't matter. You can have your church and I can be a part of my church. Just show our heart is right. No, no, no. We cannot read that in the Bible. Jesus is the only one that ever said upon this rock, Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's only one church, and God and his Son, they both want all men to be saved. They both want us to believe in Jesus and obey Jesus. You can't say, I believe in Jesus, and you won't obey him. You can't say, I believe in Jesus, and you're working in a man-made church. You're working in a church that man has come up with names, Morningstar, the Mount Zion, and all of these different man-made churches. There's only one church in the Bible. That is the church of Christ. With all the love that is in all of us as brethren in Christ, we've been sharing this love of Jesus. As we find in Mark 16:15, Jesus tells disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You and I have to obey the only one gospel that he sent into all the world for everybody. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There's not the one. There's not the one. To come up with something else, you have to have some other teaching. We find that again in 2 John 9, he said, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he have both the Father and the Son. And don't you want to have both? Don't you want to obey the same thing? He tell everybody to be baptized. He tell everybody and he show everybody that he adds to the one church, the one body. All of us supposed to be connected with Christ. And Christ said that he want us to be one so that the world can believe that we have, that God has sent Jesus. God sent his Son. And God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. The righteous one has prayed. The righteous one stand between us and God. The righteous one who had no sin, but he made a sacrifice that you and I might be made the righteous of God in him. And the only way that we can get in Christ is that we're baptized in the Christ. We're baptized in the Christ. That's what the scripture teach. And if we read it, we all read the same passages. They are speaking to all of us. My friend, God's prayer for unity is very important. That unity is important to Jesus. That unity is important to Jesus. That unity is a command of Jesus. That unity will bring us together. But to lack that unity, then we see the confusion. We see the factions. We see the division. The Bible is right. We want to encourage you to have a wonderful, wonderful night. And I thank you, Brother Tommy and Brother Flounder, for this opportunity.
And we thank you for accepting our invitation. We appreciate you so very much, Brother Johnson, for speaking on this subject, Jesus' prayer for unity. It was certainly the prayer of a dying man. He was getting ready to die when he made this prayer. We ought to take heed to the fact that Jesus prayed that we all be one. And that's exactly what we're trying to do through this call, is to bring our listening audience to the fact that, to realization that Jesus made a pray, and we're trying to unite us. And the only thing can unite us is the scripture. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, and you want to become a member of that one true church you talked about tonight, you must obey that gospel. If you want to be baptized, we'd be happy to help you. You can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Or get back in touch with the person that you that invited you to our call, and they will get in touch with us. We'll make the arrangements for you to be baptized. Or if you want to study, we'll make the arrangements for someone to come study with you in more detail. If you have questions about anything been said, go ahead and email us, and we'll make sure those questions get answered. Also, if you want to go back and listen to our message again tonight or any of these sermons that we've done since the month of May, you can go to our website, hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And there are all of the messages are there. Just click on sermons, Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call, and you will find all of the flyers, the speakers, and everything is downloadable. You can download that sermon and listen to it over and over. We thank everyone for joining us tonight. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for Jesus, our Christ. Father, for loving us, he gave his life. We want to thank him. We know there was no greater love than what he showed. Suffering on that cross, shedding blood that washed our sins away in baptism, the same blood purchased his church, his bride, as she wears his name, the Church of Christ. We pray for our visitors tonight that they have received your word with meekness, understanding is able to save their soul, but only when they obey it, Father. So we pray for them. We thank you for our brothers and sisters across the nation who continue to support our call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Join us again tomorrow night from 9 to 9:30. Our brother Ronnie Hayes will talk about this false doctrine, baptism in Jesus' name only. You want to make sure you invite all those who believe that you got to be baptized in Jesus' name only to hear the truth about this. What's that in Scripture about that? Join us tomorrow night. I pray you have a good night rest. We love you, and we speak the truth in love. Good night.